Welcome to the Dream Freedom Beauty Podcast, where you have the freedom to dream into being a life of beauty. This week's episode features Amelia Vogler, who is a super talented and gifted healer and intuitive with a very tender and deep connection with all the nature spirits of this world, with the rocks, the wind, the water, the land itself. And we get into some of that and we travel around the world and take you to some different spots, especially in our secret episode where we go to Australia and Iceland to get into some of the specific unique flavors of the different spirits in these lands. Before we get into this episode, I want to share with you a recent dream I had. I was carrying a loaded rifle in public in a cathedral. I was so scared that it would go off and kill someone, and I struggled with keeping it from pointing at anyone. Hoping to find a way to shoot it and be safely rid of the hot bullet, I went around looking for a shooting range, and I found one beneath the cathedral's main floor, because doesn't every cathedral have a shooting range in the basement? Even though the shooting range was underground, I knew that firing the gun would be really loud, and I didn't want to shoot it and disturb the peace of all the people praying upstairs. So I caught a ride out to the countryside in an old beat-up truck. As we bumped along the old dirt roads, I was freaking out, worrying that the rifle would accidentally discharge in the truck, causing damage and potentially hurting or killing us or someone else. The country road went down a steep hill and came to a plateau. Below us was an icy river that we could not cross. We had to turn around. And as we were turning, I realized I could simply take the bullet out of the gun. I did not need to shoot it to get rid of the danger. I felt so silly when I thought about how I could have removed the bullet quietly in the cathedral, avoiding all this panic and worry. But no, I couldn't see the obvious easy solution because I was too caught up in the terrifying dread and fear of worrying about what might happen. Reflecting on this dream, I didn't immediately see the deep symbolism, but I recorded it and let it steep in my subconscious for a while. Returning to my written recollection of this dream, I had an aha moment. In the dream, I was so worried that anything would set the gun off. I wasn't in control of it, and it was so dangerous. The bullet represents the emotional charge behind memories and beliefs that, when triggered, can potentially fire and wreak havoc on innocent bystanders. Notice that the bullet isn't the memories or beliefs themselves. Rather, it is the emotional charge attached to the memories and beliefs. If you take the bullet out of the gun isn't dangerous anymore. If you take the charge out of a memory or belief, it isn't dangerous anymore. Then I wondered how many people are walking around full of these emotionally charged bullets that could be triggered at any moment by anything. I think it's a safe bet to say that a majority of people are loaded guns, walking around with no clue how simple and easy it is to take the bullet out of the gun. The small self or ego uses these emotionally charged bullets as ammunition against any threat to its reign as boss of your decisions in life. If you want to see a great picture of what it looks like when the small self is allowed to run the show, look no further than the current state of the United States of America's government. And while as individuals, we might not each be that terrible, we do experience this tyranny on a personal level at some point, where the ego thinks it has all the best answers. But the truth is, it doesn't. It does have a job though. The other day, a client and I were joking around about letting the ego do such a good job at what it's meant to do that it becomes employee of the month, or even the millennium. But first, we have to take the bullets out of the gun. We have to dissolve the emotional charges that our egos have stockpiled in their doomsday prepper bunkers hidden deep in our psyches. Then we can restore the order of command to its natural state, where our higher selves take the lead and we are once again dancing in communion with all the beauty and abundance of nature. If this resonates with you, and if you feel like you could use support taking the bullets out of your rifles, then I invite you to join me in an 8-week journey to discharge the emotional bullets surrounding your beliefs around money, wealth, worthiness, time, and whether it's possible for you to live your life and live your purpose while making ends meet and living in integrity with yourself as a part of nature and the earth. This course is a walk around the wealth wheel, examining each of the 8 aspects of true wealth. It is designed to help you be in healthy relationship with each of these aspects and with wealth as a whole, which I believe is every human's natural inherent birthright. So check out dreamfreedombeauty.com/wealth to learn more and to sign up. Registration closes Tuesday, April 25th. So go check it out now. And I hope to see you there. I'm so excited for everyone who's already signed up. And I'm excited for all of you who are thinking about it, who are maybe thinking right now, this might be a yes. So go check it out, and I hope to see you there. Enjoy the show.
Welcome back to the show, Amelia. I'm so happy to share you with my audience again, because I, you know, you and I have known each other for a while now, and I just feel like you're such a gift in my life, so I'm happy to gift you forwards to my listeners. So thanks for coming back on the show to talk about all this amazing stuff we're going to talk about.
Thank you, Natalie. I'm so happy to be back here. Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining in.
So, Amelia, would you like to lead an invocation to help our listeners and help me and you get centered and present, and to invite in any benevolent spirit guides you would like to invite into this space?
Sure, Natalie. Okay. Thank you. So let's just take a minute wherever you are, whenever it is, and arrive into this place together. Perhaps doing that by focusing in on your breath, that inner ocean that allows you to meet the tides and rhythms of your own body in your own space, in your own time. And I'd like to affirm all of our physical bodies into this space, the great container for our work, the great container for our being, the great containers for our spirit, asking us to become fully present here. And I'd like to affirm our higher selves, calling forward our inner guidance, our inner wisdom. And I'd like to affirm the Great Spirit, the benevolent, all-knowing, all-guiding Spirit. And I'd like to also take a minute to affirm some of the beings that work so beautifully for us, with us. I'd like to call fire to come and burn anything that needs to be burned to clarify our minds and hearts to be here. I'd like to call water to soothe us and nurture us into our new becoming. I'd like to call all of our individual stars, that beginning place, that dimension of origin, of originality, that deep and beautiful shine that we can see in each other behind our eyes. I'd like to call our stars to come and be present with us. And I'd like to call the wind, the great wind, the wise wind, the wind that holds all of knowledge, to come and blow that knowledge in and through our conversation, to ebb us and allow us to ebb effortlessly and easily through mental aspects, so that we may follow and track and understand and grow together. And I'd like to call in Earth, all of those aspects of Earth, but particularly being drawn to the wood element. Buoyant, jovial, funny, bringing in the laughter and the fun. Come, wood spirits, come. And from here, I'd like to ask that any other divine spirit who wishes to come in benevolence and good, to come and be present with us, so that we may endeavor together in beauty and in love.
Thank you for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
Wonderful. So for the listeners, just so they have a little idea about what you do and who you are, Amelia is a super gifted and compassionate and also fierce healer and intuitive. And she also has an amazing connection with the elemental beings, not the Chinese five elements, but elemental beings like devas and nature spirits, that we're going to get into this more today. So let's get started with that. Amelia, you actually have a practice that is based in this elemental healing. What is it?
Yeah, thanks, Natalie. This, my practice has evolved over the last 12 years, and I started in my healing journey with a clinical form of energy medicine called healing touch. And I sought healing touch out because I was stressed. I was in corporate America. I was getting migraines. And one of my friends suggested that I go see an energy healer. And I had no idea what that was. I said, all right, I'll do it. He said, well, this lady's really cool. What she does, she puts a bunch of rocks on you, and then she holds your feet, and then suddenly things start shifting around you. And I was like, well, I have no idea what you're talking about. If you're talking about my stress leaving my body, then yes, sign me up, pile the rocks on me, hold my feet, I'm game. Whatever will make me feel better in my life. And so I went to a woman named Sally, and she piled rocks on me, or crystals, and held my feet, and held me in a place that was so comfortable and so original and so essential in me that I started working with the scaffolding that had been built around me in what I might call my day-to-day life. And kind of getting back in and through into the deep part of my inner sanctuary and, you know, the house of my being. And I loved this work, and I had a practice in it on and off on the weekends, in the evenings, and studied this clinical form of energy medicine at her direction. She said, Amelia, I think you really need to track with this. This is easy for you. You get this language. This is something that I think is going to be important in your life. And I thought, no way. I'd rather just pay you to hold my feet and pile the crystals on me and get rid of my stress. And as I did cultivate a practice on the nights and on the weekends at her request, I learned not just from Sally, but the energy itself, that there was something innate in me, some kind of light in me that really allowed me to tap into some of these other dimensions and aspects of the world that we live with and partner with and co-create with. And so my practice started in a clinical way, and I think the roots of my practice stay in that clinical aspects, but I was always one of those free-spirited little fairy children that would sit on rocks of mica and build little acorn shells that allowed the fairies to eat. And and I would hear these sounds in nature. And I remember that there was this one hole in a tree right next to that mica rock. And when I looked in it, I could see worlds beyond it. And as a child, I would visit those worlds and I would dream with these beings, and I would sit and I would talk to them, and I would watch the river kind of run past me and hear what it had to say. And then I rather packed up those gifts for what I might call a normal life until I started looking that way again. And as I was working in clinical energy medicine, I started looking back a couple years ago, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, and I started listening again to the earth and to the planet, and started traveling and interacting with those beings. And what I call elemental healing is working with the elemental realm. It's working with the devas. It's working with the spirits of nature. It's working with the elements of nature. It's also working with the angels of the trees and the angels of the stones and the angels of the chemistry that make up our world. And not just the elements that we can see and touch and feel, but elements like sound, elements of music, elements of gases, and, you know, more cosmic elements that we might not think we have access to, but we do if we just ask for those. And then I started blending what those elemental qualities were in and through my clinical energy medicine, and found that not only did they complement each other, but that I was able to hold someone in their essence. And I think that's what energy healing is all about, is returning us to the potential of what is our essential way of being in the world. And that essence is disease-free. It's pure. It's clean. And I love working with the elementals too, because as we're in a moment in history where we're starting to look at gender fluidity, I am curious about the archetypes of Divine Mother and Divine Father and how those archetypes are in so many ways genderless. In so many ways they communicate with us through essential aspects of ourselves, but I think when we use the term Divine Mother or Divine Father, are we limiting those archetypes to their potential? And so laying over the fabric of these elemental intelligences or wisdoms allows me to bridge into a genderless energy, an essential energy that's kind of what feels to me beyond Divine Mother and Divine Father, and offers us a bridge into something more and something really common, because the elements are all around us. The trees are all around us. These spirits are all around us. And so being able to walk that bridge right into their world just opens up all of these different dimensions that I think have been waiting for us to tap into. So that's what my elemental healing world is all about.
Okay, so you brought up something interesting that is so timely for what's going on. And you mentioned gender fluidity, and that could be like a whole episode of itself. But I've actually received comments from people about, you know, certain remarks about divine feminine and divine masculine and things about that. And it's, you know, I think sometimes in certain communities, it can be taken as an offense to talk about whether things are gendered or ungendered, or, you know, what direction divine feminine or masculine is flowing. But what I love about what we're talking about now, and what I see in my response to these people always, is what we are is not a gendered thing. We are an ungendered spirit. And if you choose to identify and root your personality and your identity in your gender, that's fine. You can, but what we are, at least from my perspective, is beings beyond any gender or any sex or anything you can put a label to about that. And that, when you honor that, you can walk into expressing this spectrum of gender fluidity. And it's like, you know, it's like we are beyond that. And I feel like sometimes we get caught in the world of, like, we see all these terrible things happening to people who are gender fluid, and we think, oh, that's just like, I don't know. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm like, this, because yeah, this is something I really want to give forwards to the world and to people, is that, yes, I want equality for all people, no matter how they identify, but also, we are genderless spirits. And that's one thing I love about nature spirits, is they are genderless spirits too, who help us see that connection beyond these divisive labels.
Yeah, I think so. And I want to challenge you a little bit also in the term beyond gender, because I actually think we're all of it. It that Divine Mother is Divine Father, that Divine Father is Divine Mother, that we hold all of it, and that it's the terms and the containers that hold us in a limited perspective, but that I think the qualities, the dimensions, the aspects of what those archetypes represent are very beautiful aspects and dimensions to honor in ourself, but it's the label that binds us. And so many people, I think Toni Morrison wrote or said something to the effect of, you know, to live is the most important thing, but to the language is the way that we impact our world or the way that we evolve and change our world. Like the way we language has to be in alignment with how much we can hold. And so I think that the nature spirits have taught me to bridge into different language of what some of these older ways of languaging these aspects and dimensions of ourselves was holding for us as a world, as a people, as a community.
Interesting. And yeah, and I guess by beyond, I mean expanding into that, like if you are a dot, expanding into the bubble that holds all the different dots because of seeing
exactly
how it's all connected. It's all part of the same thing. And I love that the languaging is how we interface with that and express it and play with that. Because I feel like we're just like playing through the world, through our bodies. We're here to like play and put on different shapes and forms and see how that feels. And that's like the thrill of being a human.
Oh, exactly. And, you know, one of my side endeavors, loves, roles is writing and creative writing. And so I challenge people in their language because I think it is such a critical component to how we are bound by a culture, mm-hmm. by thought forms. And so I really try in my teaching to help people hear what they're saying. Like, cause sometimes we language divisiveness, even as we're trying to express something bigger and open. But I think that the gender fluidity is such an important topic. And I think all of us we could all benefit from that looking in the mirror as we look through the mirror at ourselves, breaking down what is it in us that feels stuck in a specific gender or in a specific way of thinking through an archetype, and like go just a little deeper. Like what is the dimension and aspect of my inherent beauty that's beyond that label, and how do I bring that forward to connect me with my essential self? That's what healing is. Healing is going deeper with yourself. It's going deeper with yourself so that you can choose in better alignment from the world, you know, choosing what aligns and what supports you better, whether it be people or a job or a hobby, you know, what is going to grow my spirit so that I can thrive out there.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm already thinking like, okay, we're going to have to get you back, I think, to have an episode all about languaging because it is so important. And I know I have plenty to learn too. So let's get back to nature spirits.
Let's go.
Yeah. So you mentioned a little bit about how you learned about them and you started tuning back into them. Mm-hmm. But you want to tell us more about that? Like, so you knew about them as a kid and a few years ago you started tapping back into that. How did you do that? What was that like?
Oh gosh, what a beautiful question. It's taking me back to a million places in time, which I'm going to try to just kind of bend together so I can come up with an answer that's not going to take 4 hours. But I think it was the alchemy of my dreams, of my desires, and of my curiosity. I think that the nature beings started talking to me first in the unconscious, in the subconscious when I was dreaming, because I remember hearing the wind call me back to it. I remember a dream where it was as if I was one with the wind and the wind was speaking to me in a thousand languages. But
right,
I
this is so eerie because oh my gosh, I will publish this poem on the show notes page, but like 15 years ago or something, I wrote this poem about being one with the wind. And it's like, you just spoke. Oh my God, I got to send it to you.
Okay, I can't wait.
I'll put it on the show notes page too. So sorry, I just had, it was like, whoa.
Yeah, the wind is a powerful teacher. Well, let me answer your question now. Get back to the wind.
I know, because we could party all night.
I know. The first in my dreams, the wind came. Then the water and the ocean. And it was like these dreams evolved. One night I would be the ocean and understand the tides and the moon and the connection to the stars. And I was almost like a voyager in the ocean, looking at the constellations and building these bridges. It was like each one of these elements that would visit me allowed me to bridge into another element and another element and another element. And so my dreams were first. And then my curiosity, too. I was often curious, both as a child and still now. I would go out into nature and just watch and be curious. And I think these nature spirits love curious people because they just sort of gravitate to that childlike, that innocent inquiry about what are you out there? Because you acknowledge them in your curiosity. And I think that curiosity can be the key to people who are practicing with these elementals that unlocks that portal to them. It's non-judgmental. We're not asking anything of them. We're just sort of open to being curious, and they want to come and teach us. They want to come and help us. And then I think, I can't remember the exact word, see, language. Yeah, we'll just have to do another talk on that. I can't remember the second thing that led me here. I think it was like just perhaps like active inquiry of it, like in terms of accessing the dimensions in my body, the potential for allowing them to live within me, come through me, and see what they do within my own personal being, because they come alive in you, and then you watch yourself acting through them as if they've gifted you part of themselves to be enacted in and through our life. And so just being them, being with them, being of them, honoring them, that was the other way that I started working with them. And then, you know, I do tend towards the intuitive side of life. And so being able to use that lens, kind of like step outside myself and work with myself intuitively, asking myself, what is that thing that's coming through you right now? Sit with that. Be curious about that. Write about that. Let that thing, whatever it is, come through and become in a really real and beautiful way.
So it's almost like channeling, almost like...
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. Tuning with the wind and channeling that through you and letting it show you what it is by it influencing how you're experiencing yourself. And then you have that conscious awareness that, oh, this is the wind that's showing me this.
Yeah. And then when you work with other people, it's asking beyond yourself in the highest good of the other, how can wind come through and support this person? Or how can fire support the cauterizing of a wound? Or how can water become a purifying force in their creative flow? So it's then kind of reflecting externally as well to other people, kind of like holding that mirror for them when you're holding space for them. Mm-hmm. And I think another way that I learned about these beings, or learned by these beings, is through traveling the planet. Because I have a big travel bug in me. Whatever that thing is that wants to crawl the earth and discover and like pick up a stone and talk with it and then put it back down and say, did I put it in the right place? You know, like, did I put you back? Are you faced up or faced down? You know, and just being very respectful in and through those travels too. I think that has taught me immeasurably, because a stone in North Carolina is not the same stone or spirit as a stone in Australia or a stone in Iceland. They have different qualities because the landscape is different, the geography is different, the stories are different, the land is different, the history is different. And so tracking through the planet and sitting down and asking not just who you are now, but where have you come from and where are you going? My library for these elementals has just grown exponentially just from being with them in their different geographies.
When you say library, do you mean kind of like your posse?
Well, yeah, I would call it my posse. I might call it like my toolkit too, in terms of working with them energetically in a clinical way.
Okay.
It's also like drawing from, do I need the stone in Iceland or do I need that one in Australia? Do I need the water from the Caribbean or do I need the water from the waterfall, you know, in upstate New York? Because they're so different. You can even see that in Masaru Emoto's work, you know, the water study scientist. He did in his little book, Messages from the Water, you can see that he tested out water crystals, or he sampled water from around the world, froze it, and looked at the crystals and saw that the crystal of Niagara Falls took on the visual characteristics of that waterfall versus the water from England that he froze that was a bit cloudy and dark and, you know, just like a foggy day in England. So you can see the qualities, the energy qualities being born of the different geographies. It's just fascinating. And so when you start like really getting into the wisdom of these places and these beings and these supporters of us, it's an honoring of them. And I can hear them cheering when you put them to use. It's like in a clinical way, because you're holding a really high vibration for what's right and good. And I think that's what they're all about.
Yeah. Right. And something I know you and I have talked about before is in private is how the spirits of nature, the rocks, the water, the wind, the fire, and the cosmos beyond, you know, beyond the earth too, they haven't forgotten themselves as nature and as the divine. And that's part of that high vibration and part of that healing aspect is they help us attune to the wholeness that we already are. And I love that. So I'm curious, when you go to like Australia or you go to Iceland or you go to somewhere, do you actually bring home the rocks or do you just like meet the rocks and then you're now connected and you can interact with them at any time after that meeting? Like, how does that work?
Oh, it's a good question. So I do have a stone collection in my office that I use, but I don't just pick up a rock and take it home. I have to ask permission. Do you want to come work in physical manifested form with me? And usually what happens is I'll hear something humming in the world. There's some interesting sticks that appeared for me in, where was I? I was in Argentina and I was on a little island in the Tierra de Fuego, the land of the fire, way down deep near, like as close as you can get to Antarctica. And I was on this island and I heard this sound, this incredible sound. And I looked over and it was this tiny little stick that had an eye in it.
Ooh.
And it was looking at me. And I went straight away over to it and picked it up and I held it. And it was like, I'm coming home with you.
Yeah.
And I said, all right, that's fine. You will fit in my pocket. I think I can get this through customs. No problem. And so that eye, I have kept that eye in that particular wood. And what an extraordinary landscape with the icebergs of that beautiful glacier, milk blue color, like so clear and rich and full. So she's in the office with me. And then others, like once you meet them, you can call them. And I call them all the time. I call them specifically. I call them as a family. I'll call what they used to be, you know, before they had been weathered. You know, I'll call them in their infancy. I'll call them in their aged form. And it just depending on what the body is asking for, whether it needs, you know, infant knowledge or old, wise, ancient knowledge from a particular spirit. We, you know, we kind of run even the lifeline of the plant or the animal or even the full geography. Sometimes I'll call in an entire season from an entire place. Like, I want fall from Colorado and I want those aspen trees, the yellow, the brightness, like the sun reflecting out of those leaves. That's what's being called for this person right now. So it's a little of both.
Cool. I like it.
You really get the whole world in past, present, and future at your fingertips. And for people who are really sensitive to nature, it seems like this is the missing key to their healing journey.
I know I've experienced that. And, you know, I've taught myself a lot, but then, you know, working with you has helped me learn a lot and be able to bring this forward and understand. And there's so much more to learn. It's so exciting. Yeah. And one thing I know I've experienced is that when you connect out with, I mean, I feel so connected with trees, and I know a lot of people do, especially so like when you connect with, say, a tree and you start talking with it, they're like, oh my God, wow, yes, I've been wanting to, like, you know, they're happy doing their thing, but it's also like, oh, yes, you, wow, what? Yes, they want that connection. And
they do.
And they welcome it.
They want to be acknowledged. They're co-creating with us. I think it's that, you know, well, I have to say I'm a closet like Deadliest Catch fan on TV. So that's my mindless television. And I only watch
it
like,
oh
yeah, it's ridiculous. Every episode is the same, but it's like they catch the crab, they lose the crab, there's a storm, somebody cusses, repeat for, I don't know, seven seasons. But for some reason,
whatever works. It,
yeah, whatever. Talk about the elements. I mean, the Bering Sea, I've never been there. I've flown over it. But whoa, maybe I'm learning a little bit from those crabs just watching the weather beat these men and women down. But at any rate, I think when we get tuned in too much to our material world, our human world, we're missing, oh, I couldn't even quantify what we're missing. That's literally reaching out saying, I'm here to tell you stories. I'm here to entertain you. I'm here to heal you. I'm here to partner with you. I'm here to co-create goodness with you. Look this way. And so I think this work that's coming through me is a way that we can do some of that ritualized honoring in a healing way, to get us connected, back connected with what's elemental in us as well. Cause we are made of all of those elements.
Yeah.
So it's bringing us back to ourselves, or they're helping us bring ourselves back.
Love it. Love it.
Yes.
So I know you recently went to Thailand, and you're so good at like dropping hints and then making me want more. Cause I'm like, you've told me a little bit about this pregnant elephant that you spoke with. And so what do you want to tell us about this trip? Like, what drew you there? What were you doing? And what's up with this elephant?
Oh, Natalie. This is such a peculiar story of how I got there, and I'll make it sort of short. But I was I do a girls' weekend at the beach with some girlfriends every year, every fall, and I walked into the closet where there was one of my adorable friends sitting on the floor staring at her shoe. And I was like, huh? What's going on? And she looked up at me and she goes, do you want to get away? I said, always. Yes, I love to travel. Let's go. Where are we going? And she's like, let's go far away. I want to meet an elephant. And I said, oh, I would love to meet an elephant. That was like in November of last year. Okay. And come December, I get an itinerary in my inbox in my Gmail account that said, we're going to Thailand. Here's the itinerary. This is what it's going to cost. And this is the day we're going to go meet the elephants. And it was like, oh, wait, but you want to leave in like 40 days, you know, like a month. And
that's plenty of time.
Yeah, for a trip like that, that's plenty of time. So I looked at my calendar and I said, you know what, those dates aren't really going to work for me. So could we do these? And it was just like 42 days later or something like that. And she's like, yes. So we booked our tickets and we went. Wow. And it was like Spirit just said, like, here, do this thing. Here's everything you need. Wow. The date was a little off, but we've just did it. And it was extraordinary. I didn't know why I was going. I didn't know why the benevolent spirits were calling me to that area of the world. And it was right after the inauguration, and I was really working with the energies of that and trying to put myself in a position where I could hold a template that was high vibration enough to both like restore my own sense of self and also be able to hold that for others.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have to do your inner work to be able to support somebody else. And I was really struggling at that time, and this trip just arrived. And so I left a grieving country to go to another grieving country because Thailand has had recently lost their beloved king of almost 60 years. And this king was, oh, he was extraordinary. He loved the arts. He loved engineering. He eradicated their heroin problem. He, and in metaphors that are so beautiful, they need to be shared. Like the poppy farmers in the mountainside who would grow the poppies for the heroin, he made a mandate that those flower farmers could then grow out of the same land flowers for the temples.
Whoa, that's so and powerful.
It's so powerful. Wow. And then Thailand as a country, the three primary religions, Buddhist, Muslim, and Hindu, and everyone gets along peacefully. And so when I arrived in that countryside, I was met with energies of inclusion and love, and I met different elementals of gold and air, and I mean, I could talk about Thailand forever, but this elephant that I met was named Majun, and she was pregnant, and she was 4 months pregnant, and she was the biggest elephant on the farm, it seems like, because we got partnered energetically with our elephant for the day. And the farm was called Pintara Farm. I mean, the owners of this farm are extraordinary stewards of keeping the species alive and well. Their rehabilitation model is not just make them feel better in their physical self. They work with trauma, the mental aspects, their emotional aspects, their physical aspects. And also it's a farm that artificially inseminates female elephants so that they can have a healthy pregnancy and increase the population of the elephants. And it's all done with such high vibration and such beauty and so carefully. It is an extraordinary place. But Majun, they kind of pointed me to Majun, and I looked at this elephant and I thought, oh shit, she's big. And she was so intimidating to me, both energetically and also by size. I mean, her legs they came up to my shoulders.
Wow.
And they were wider than me. You know, her toenails were as big as my hand. And I just kept being in the energy system of this amazing woman who was pregnant. And I was just mesmerized by her. And I went there with a question from one of my clients who was struggling with an epigenetic story around memory. And I thought, well, no better a being to ask about memory than an elephant, because they remember everything. And maybe I can get some insights on why and how to access memories. And as we were working together, I asked her about, you know, well, Majoon, you know, I look right into her eyes. It was just incredible. And I said, Majoon, I have a client who's struggling with memory. And can you teach me a little bit about that? And she said to me, Amelia, I don't think you're asking me about memory. I think you're asking me about evolution. And I think she's right. I know she was right by the end, but she said that if you think about evolution, if you think about species as they evolve over a long, long time, she said that we change slowly, that if you pay attention, you'll know what is important to preserve. And I started thinking about what is it that we preserve? And I asked her, well, what do you mean? What, not just like in our physical body, what do we preserve and gift on, like in that epigenetic sense? But I just got the sense there was more. And she said, it's the stories, Amelia. It's the stories that we hold. They hold the energy that heals us. They hold the energy of what was and what will always be, because what's present there that needs to be preserved will always, it's almost like natural selection. It will want to be preserved. We just have to touch into it. And she said, so look back into your own stories and preserve the old ways. Preserve the old ways that you loved and the simple ways that you loved, because they endure. And I love that. It's simple, but it's beautiful. And I've been walking back in my own family's history, looking at the stories of where did, quote, my people come from, and what's still lingering in me that can be reclaimed, and what in me now needs to be let go of to make an easier pathway forward for my own stories and the way I'm embodying them and gifting them on. And she also talked to me about,
I'm going to ask one question real quick.
Yeah. Ask.
I'm curious, what were you like, just like the physical aspect of this being with the elephant, were you like hanging out like right next to, like, what were you doing?
Yeah, I guess I didn't really set the scene very well, but we, spent a day together. Well, I think it was more like, 5 hours together.
Okay.
And so they pointed me into the direction of my elephant. I walked over there, and they have an elephant keeper named Mahout, who stays with his elephant for years and years and years and years. Oh, and, wow. You know, they become family. And so at the beginning, what I did was they let me be in relationship with her in a nurturing way where I fed her. And Majoon, this animal, I mean, I just loved her so much. She was so funny because I had this big basket of sugar cane up underneath my arm. And I would take a piece of sugar cane, I would feed it to her, and all of a sudden her trunk would like go behind my back and sneak into the basket and steal one.
Oh my gosh.
I guess, you know, she's pregnant. She must have been very hungry. But so I fed her, and then I learned to talk to her. The word is, like if you were going to give an elephant a compliment in Thai, you would say, Didi, Didi Majoon, Didi. And I just pat her on the cheek or behind the ear. And you could tell she was just enamored with the love and caring. Mm-hmm. And then they taught me how to brush her down with some tree limbs. And so they asked me to speak to her and tell her to lie down. So I spoke the word, which I cannot remember now. And this big, massive elephant she just lied down right there in front of me. Wow. As if just like, I'm just right here. And I just beat her lovingly, which just sounds like terrible, but with this with this tree limb, but that's how you get the dust off of them. And I could tell she was just like, oh, this is the best. You could see the little hairs on her head sticking up and her ears were flapping around. And Aww. Oh, and I could crawl on her to beat her with the sticks so I could get every inch of her. I mean, it was extraordinary to be on the skin of an animal caretaking over her. And being so close and being able to nurture such a big spirit in such an intimate way. And then we walked her down to the river and I bathed her in the river and scratched her little head and
scrubbed
her. I know, I scrubbed her trunk and, you know, we just played together and got to know each other. And then the last part of the day was to walk the elephants back up. And you would walk them up a path and down actually a paved road, which they said was therapeutic for their toenails. If they got to grind them on the toenail on their toenails on the pavement, it meant that they didn't have to clip them down, which was actually part of the, you know, the therapeutic design of the day, caretaking for these beings. And I actually chose not to ride her because I wanted to stay in her eyes. I wanted to hold her trunk. I wanted to walk next to her and be a partner to her rather than someone that was riding on top of her.
Yeah.
I just wanted to finish my conversation. So a lot of this conversation happened while she and I were walking side by side up the road.
Cool. Okay. Yeah. So you were just telling about the stories then.
Yeah, so the stories as a way to reach into our own well of evolutionary wisdom. And I asked her then from the stories, like, well, you know, so many people are disconnected from their stories. How do you remember them? How do you, for those like my client who's losing her memory some, how do you go back to remembering? And this, I always tear up a little bit because the message was so strong and so clear and so beautiful. She looked at me and she said, Amelia, the bridge to all memories is love. If you can find your way into love, you can remember all that has ever been. And so bringing that wisdom back into my clinic, my client and I have been doing very, very deep heart work to allow her to traverse the bridge back to her memories. And it's just, it's been an extraordinary journey with that client. And it's been an extraordinary journey within myself to tap into some of those pathways that love has to offer me that I didn't know was available to us to walk into some of those stories. And
like what? Can you give us an example of that?
Yeah, I think let me try to abridge it a little so you don't get a 4-hour tape here. Because that sounded 1950s. Anyway, my family is an old family in North Carolina that works in the funeral business. There's been a funeral home in my family for over 250 years.
That's amazing.
And yeah, you know, the caretakers over that dying, the living after the death. Like, what does it mean to caretake over grief in that way and caretake over a body? And I wanted to know in my own personal story, what have I brought back from that? What am I still connected to in that story? And what do I need to kind of rekindle? What doorways do I need to open to get back into that? And I started hearing these old songs in my head when I went through my heart. And they were old songs, and I would listen to them kind of play in my intuition. And then someone would call me for an appointment that was in deep grief. And I would hear the song in my head and I would play it into the room through my heart and the person would stop crying. So it's like renewing that gift that's been in my family line through a sound that was bridged through the inquiry of my heart.
Awesome.
Yeah. I mean, and that's like a fairly concrete example, even though it's subtle. The way that we can traverse these pathways in the etheric, they don't make a lot of logical sense, but you just stick with them and see where you follow.
Right. The thread.
Yeah. And then you just land somewhere astounding. And for some reason, you know exactly when to open that door and allow whatever needs to come through to come through. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just extraordinary. And, you know, Majun also taught me about, I thought this was a really beautiful teaching in terms of how we evolve in our own journey. You know, as a woman, I wouldn't even say some expectation of procreation, you know, but like as a species, as human beings, like we do, many of us want to carry life into the next generation. Many of us don't, but she taught me about evolution in that sense too. She said that, you know, I just want to remind you that each of us holds the future generations within us. You know, she also taught me about that you don't have to be pregnant to bear new life into the world or bring new life into the world. She also taught me that each of us holds these future generations within us, and that all you have to do is acknowledge that new life within you, that's growing within you, that wants to grow in and through you, that's really waiting for you to tap into it so that you can become it. And it doesn't have to be born in physical form. And I think that is so pivotal and so beautiful in terms of what healing is about, going deeper with ourselves, where we can acknowledge that we are evolving in every given moment and birthing something new. And
I love that.
I know, I loved that. And then, you know, the other thing that Majun taught me that I find extraordinary was around our senses. And she said that, remember that all of our senses are precious. They're precious gifts. That's what she would say. They're precious gifts. Try to experience through all of them, she said. Try one day to hear and taste and smell and see and touch with all of your heart and see what the mind and the heart can do together when you see with all of your senses. And I thought that was extraordinary too, because it allowed these other ways of experiencing not just our world, but bringing them more actively into the way that we can work with the nature spirit. You know, who has smelled the wind? I mean, everybody, but have you really thought about in any given moment, what is the wind bringing you through your smelling sense?
Right. And anyone who has a dog has probably seen their dog sniff the wind, you know.
Oh, absolutely. So working with this elephant, she's absolutely with me wherever I go. If I have a client that shows up that's working with a pregnancy story or a growth story or wanting to be more aware of their connection with spirit, I call Majun and I say, come and be with us and teach us. And I can smell her in the room. Mm-hmm. I can hear her in the room. I can see her in the room. And it's just like, oh, I went to Thailand to find one of my teachers. That's right.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's amazing. So you mentioned something there with the senses and working, kind of wrapping that back around to the nature spirits. Can you tap a little bit more into that? Like, say, you know, because I think this is a really important thing for people connecting with nature spirits, because they don't just connect through words. So can you expand on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think like a technique to practice, if you will, you know, might be that you go somewhere in nature and you sit and you close your eyes and you kind of walk the journey of your senses. Like you mindfully smell and allow your inner self to ask through the sense of smell, what is being taught here? And so for today here in North Carolina, it's a little cloudy and it's rained a little. And when I went outside to smell what the world was teaching me today, I smelled the pungent, deep smell of the moss resting, laden with the water. And it kind of took me into a short journey of allowing water on my own body to rest, like after the shower, and just feel it like the moss feels it and listen to it. And that was all through my sense of smell. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, tasting things, I wouldn't, you know, I guess I shouldn't advocate for people to start putting everything in their mouth because there are molds and things out there. But, you know, you can taste the air in certain places and allow that to become a bridge for you to better understand different questions to ask of that environment and ask of those spirits, you know, like, what is that musky taste that's sitting on my tongue? And, as I said those words, I saw a little tree man, like a spirit, like a gnome. It wasn't like a gnome. It's like a, tree being, that sort of became out of the tree, and he said, why, that's the taste of rotting. And so that bridge would let me open that doorway or walk the bridge over to ask about, well, what do you mean rotting? What does that mean? And as I traverse that right here and now, it's actually teaching me about nutrients, and it's about the need to allow yourself to let go of things so that it can decompose around you and become the fuel and power for something new to be born. And so you just walk these little journeys through your senses.
Love it. Love it. And I think every listener, go do that. Do that today. Don't wait. Yeah. Now.
Absolutely. And write in. Like, I want to know. Write me. I want to know what you're smelling and tasting and feeling. And, you know, I'd like to, maybe tonight will be one of my practices to go try to taste the stars.
Oh,
because I've never done that before. Wow. I've never really opened that sense to what the cosmic realm is trying to share with me through that sense.
That's so funny. I just looked at my, I just like turned my head just a little bit, and all of a sudden my eyes landed on this book called Star People. So maybe you get some, definitely going to get some interesting tastes from there.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Cool. Love it. Ooh, I think you've really expanded listeners' ability to navigate this realm and navigate their relationships with nature spirits and navigate the ways into relating and working with and getting information and giving information in these etheric realms. So thank you. That's what a wonderful gift.
Oh, you're welcome, Natalie. I would just say in conclusion too, that to acknowledge that we have an important place in those co-creative relationships too, because we are also teaching the earth about what we need when we communicate with them, you know, and not just as an individual, but as a collective, you know, there are many people walking this earth that are not making very positive choices. And when those of us who are willing to stand up and talk with the earth in this way, we're helping them to hear us and to show up in specific vibrations to support us as a collective as well. So it's almost like we have a duty, I think, to show up and co-create in that way.
I definitely echo that. I feel you on that.
Yeah.
Wow. So, listeners, if you have really enjoyed hearing about Amelia's journey and learning from Amelia, then I have good news for you. She's going to be a special guest on this 8-week online course that is open for registration right now. So she's going to be there. You can ask her questions live. They can be about the course or about nature spirits. The course involves nature spirits, so that would be perfect. But I invite you to look into that. And also, so if someone wants to connect with you like right now, ASAP, or they want to learn more about you, where can they go?
Oh, they can go to my website, ameliavogler.com. I guess you'll put a link down there.
Yeah.
So it's like, look at the bottom of the webpage. There's a link.
And the show notes page.
Yeah, look down there. An email, call, Twitter is like, I love tweeting for some reason. It's so immediate and so much fun. So that's also a super great way to connect with me.
What's your Twitter name?
Oh God, why did
just
you
look
you
up? Okay, well, yes, just put a link on the show notes page.
it's Healing Space NC. Healing Space NC, but you can just find me by my name.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, I love interacting and hearing questions and talking about this aspect of healing because I think it's new. I don't think there are a lot of people doing this sort of work in this way, so I really want to share it and grow it so that people can be cultivating some different aspects to their healing practices, both personally and for those who are practitioners doing this sort of work.
Mm. Yes.
Thank you, Natalie. I'm so jazzed up to be here again. It's so much fun. Thank you.
And you know, I'm gonna read this poem. I have it. I just pulled it up here because it's online, actually. My poem with the wind. If you don't mind.
Love, yeah.
Okay, it's called One with the Wind. I think it might have been published like 10 years ago. I'm a published poet. Oh, I don't even know what I've published though. Okay, here it is, One with the Wind. And if the wind blows through me, remember, I was never here. Because my lifeline has been severed over several lifetimes. The wind that blows through you is what has become of me, existing in realms not typically seen by your humanoid eyes. And if you realize this, it will be because you, too, have become one with the wind. And instantly, you will know me the whole way through, as I, in the wind, have eternally known you.
Ooh. I love that. Thanks, Natalie.
Yeah, it was a poem the wind brought me, so there it is.
Well, I want to hear everybody's poems on the wind.
I know, right? Like, send us your poems. So, people, if you, my dear beloved listeners, if you go start following these bridges into these communications that Amelia has talked about, or if you have a poem about the wind, just hop onto dreamfreedombeauty.com. And contact me and just let me know. Or if you're on the newsletter, just hit reply to any email I've sent and send us some stuff and I'll forward it to Amelia and we'll all rejoice and party.
I would love to celebrate that.
Yes.
And we're all here to learn from each other. So
exactly.
I would love to learn from you also. I just so value perspective and story and I feel like it being curious and open and non-judgmental, it's the best way to grow your heart into being a more inclusive, loving entity on the planet.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Well, thank you, Amelia. And can't wait to have you back.
Thanks, Natalie. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed the show, I recommend you go check out the secret episodes at dreamfreedombeauty.com/secret. And I want to invite you to the 8-week online course, Wealthy Women, Wealthy World, where, as I stated in the introduction, we will be traveling around the wealth wheel and examining and dissolving your limiting beliefs around your worthiness, money, living your purpose, having your needs met, and living in integrity with the earth. So if you're interested in learning more about this, I invite you to go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/wealth and sign up. And sign up closes Tuesday, April 25th, so make sure you check it out before then. If you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. I'm more than happy to answer any questions you might have. I also want to mention people who took my free courses last year had life-changing experiences, and that's from just these free courses and also from some very inexpensive short courses I've taught around town where I live. People have transitioned into entirely new lifestyles where they're finally taking action and living their dreams. People have found jobs that gave them major upgrades, both in the way they got to work and where they got to work and in their paycheck. People have been able to disconnect from relationships that weren't serving them and actually connect with love that reflects a true, deep, nourishing self-love in a partnership. People have been able to have all these amazing transformations, and it's not me doing the work. I'm just holding the space and inviting you to enter into these portals, into these inner temples, inner sanctuaries, where you can do your own inner work that helps you to realign with your truth and to step into the flow of abundance and wealth and to open up to your purpose, to open your channels to receiving and to living something that you maybe thought wasn't possible for you. So if you're interested in that, I invite you to go to dreamfreedombeauty.com/wealth and I'll see you there. And P.S., thank you for listening. I know this intro and outro weren't the best sound quality, but I'm traveling. And so thank you for sticking through it. We'll be back to our regularly scheduled quality next week. Bye.